Where is the first place your mind goes when you don't stick a move? If you're like most climbers, it's probably your finger strength or tension or even your effort, and you're already considering what hangboard protocol to use or some front lever workout or something. But I'm here to tell you that it's possible, probable even, that you're looking in the wrong direction entirely. And that's because one of the most common places I see things start to fall apart is at the very beginning of the move, the part we do over and over. And if we're not sticking the move, the part we never know for sure that we're doing the best way. And I'm not talking about leading with your hips or driving with your legs or where you're looking. It's much simpler than that. It has to come first, and it's shockingly easy to improve. I'm Chris Hampton. You're listening to Tape Tips from Power Company Climbing. Let's get into it. It's time to build. Okay, all of those things that you hear climbers and coaches preach about as movement rules, the lead with your hips, start the movement with your toes, straight arms versus bent arms, preloading for momentum, triangles and plumb lines, etc., are all individual techniques for specific moves, and they all work. Sometimes. But none of these are hard and fast principles that can be applied across the board. And we'll bust some of those movement myths in a future episode, but for now, let's talk about something that is a general principle. When climbing, most movements, if not all, start and end in a relatively stable position. That's sort of the goal. Move from relatively stable position to relatively stable position. And this idea is baked into difficulty. As moves get harder, they usually begin and end in less stable or harder to control positions. Now, static moves, in general, remain fairly stable throughout, though the middle is still usually less stable than the ends, while dynamic moves go through a much less stable space, but will, usually and ideally, end with relative stability. In our previous Tape Tips episode, we discussed finish positions and how to practice them. So if you haven't listened to that one, you should do that after you're finished here. And for both of these, we've made YouTube videos that show all of the concepts. So you might consider clicking the link in your show notes and watching this episode. But here's the thing. These stable starting positions should not be the most stable position. Not always, anyway. It's about finding the most advantageous stable position. Take runners, for example. Short distance sprinters start with both hands on the ground and feet in blocks. And by the time the distance becomes 800 meters, the runners start crouched over, but standing with no blocks. And they start differently because that's what's advantageous for their next move. And that goal is different. The 800 runners aren't trying to create as much acceleration as possible right away. They want to be more upright. If they started like sprinters, there would be a bunch of unnecessary movement right out of the blocks that isn't contributing to them going faster. And the same with sprinters. If they started like the 800 runners, they'd have to spend time getting lower to accelerate before coming upright to finish the race. And that's what we want as well, a relatively stable position that's advantageous for what happens next and will allow us to remove the unwanted or unexpected movement from the equation. Things like falling away as soon as you release the hand that's moving to the next hold, or barn dooring after hitting holds, or crashing into holds violently. Getting rid of those extraneous movements at the end of moves very often starts at the start. Now, as moves get harder, we generally have less opportunity for stability, or we have to absorb more movement when we stick the move, something like holding a big swing that's just unavoidable. In that case, we're looking for the advantageous setup position that allows us to initiate the movement and then absorb whatever forces we can anticipate. And in all of these example cases, there's one common thing we get wrong that causes the moves to be either unsuccessful or harder than they need to be. Put simply, we rush it, which nearly always means we aren't finding the most advantageous stable starting position for the next move. And in a world where everyone is telling you to climb faster like Adam Ondra does, I get it. But you're not Adam Ondra. Let's discuss a few common examples and then talk about how we can get better at finding the best position. And now, I'll do my best to explain here, but this is where the video really shines. Okay, very often, I see climbers get set up for static moves by getting high enough that they can reach the next hold, usually via locking off. And then as soon as they release the hand to move it, they start to fall away. This results in either an unsuccessful move or crashing into the target hold. And this lets me know that either the position or tension applied is incorrect, and we might explore that to find the advantageous stability we need, or if no position proves more stable, we need to be moving through that space rather than trying to hold a position where we're not stable, which puts the advantageous position a little lower and usually more relaxed and in a spot where we can begin to create some momentum. Now, you probably imagined a square frontal lock-off there. It's an easy to recognize example, but let's try another less straightforward example of the same thing. So particularly on steep walls, it's really common to hit a pretty good side pull and then get set up with a good foot that's directly below the side pull you're on, that hip to the wall, and the other foot flagged out. We hold that tension and then rush it, causing us to fall away and crash into the target hold. If we'd taken the time to find a lower position that was more stable and advantageous, we would have a little more control over the move and could completely avoid that big crash. Now, in general, sport climbers tend to be better at this on lower level to moderate terrain. They find efficiency. They're used to stopping to clip or chalk up. However, I often see career sport climbers rushing the moves when they're doing several difficult moves in a row. At that higher level, on harder moves where stability isn't as possible, boulderers nearly always have the advantage. But I often see good boulderers not taking the time to find stability on long endurance boulders or when they try to switch to sport climbing, resulting in inefficiency. Now, a bit of a side note here. Your most advantageous start position for a move is going to change with your strength. If the hold I'm going to requires some precision, but I'm not strong enough to control the middle of the move, then I have to go dynamically, which is less precise. Now, as I get stronger and then can control the middle, locking off and going static might become my better start position. And again, as I get better at using momentum, but can then create tension to slow the move down at the very end, that might be the better method. It all depends, but it will never be just about strength. What it's about is how well you can move with the strength you have. And of course, whether you're a sport climber or boulder, it's always possible to stick the move in an inefficient way, but over the course of several moves in a row, absorbing and countering all of this unwanted movement is going to take a toll. Or having to generate movement from less than ideal positions is going to wear you out. And honestly, if you're sticking the move, how do you know when to reevaluate what you're doing? Well, that comes down to awareness. Awareness of how much control you can exert over a move and whether it's more efficient to exert that control or to release it. And this awareness only comes with experience, which usually takes a lot of time, and intentional experience at that. But we have a couple of drills we use to help develop that awareness faster, as well as to improve your ability to find those stable, more advantageous setup positions. The first is sloth climbing or half speed climbing. And it's exactly as it sounds. You aren't locking off over and over. Instead, you're climbing as slow as possible, constantly moving. It should literally look like a slow motion video. And you should start with this on your easiest warm-ups and progress the difficulty to a place where you're finding it nearly impossible to stop unwanted movement, things like falling away or needing to move a hand or foot quickly. You want as much control as possible over the moves, foot cuts, barn doors, all of it. And in order to exert this extreme level of control, you'll have to create a ton of tension. You'll have to remain aware of all of the moving parts, and more important, you'll have to find stable positions. Now, while doing this, if you find specific styles of climbing, maybe it's compression, maybe it's really twisty climbing that you find more difficult, spend more time on those styles and try to figure out why it's harder for you. And if you find a specific move that you just can't do at half speed, play with it a little bit. Try to sort it out. Just be aware that working on these extreme ends is going to be physically taxing as well. You're creating tons of tension over and over. So depending on the goal of the session, you may want to be sure you just don't overdo it. Now, the next, which I'll call false starts, is essentially the opposite of the popular hover drill that most of you already know. Rather than hovering as you get to the target, though, you're going to hover on the release of the hand you're moving at the bottom or the start of the move. Now, this is going to force you to find that stable position to start out of, or you'll just fall away immediately. After you've released, you'll either have to grind to create a more controlled move or find a way to create momentum out of the hole. And you should aim to do this on moderate terrain. The easiest warm-ups will likely be too easy with relaxed, stable positions, and we want some level of challenge in our drills that comes from the constraint we have in place. In this case, releasing the hand and holding position before moving. And now keep in mind that we can stay in positions that are pretty compromising if we try hard enough. But those will often end up being hard to create movement from. High effort positions will sometimes be required on really hard moves. But remember, we're looking for advantageous stability here, which often translates to efficiency. So sometimes you'll just have to weigh several options. You'll explore. When doing static or controlled moves that don't require much momentum, you might want to get set up higher and lock everything down, or you'll have to grind slowly through the move. If it's a dynamic move you're facing, you'll usually want a lower, more relaxed position to generate out of. And for some dynamic moves, you'll need to come back to the start hold to create momentum. But for others that have really stable start positions, you can use the discus throw technique to create the necessary momentum. And this is actually one of the places I see better climbers still getting stuck, setting up for a static move, but then moving dynamically, or vice versa. This often happens in big crosses. We get stuck in the middle because we aren't sure if we're going static or going dynamically. And if your setup doesn't match the movement, it's going to result in either coming up short or some sort of unwanted movement you have to absorb or control. And while doing this drill, or any drill for that matter, ask yourself questions about what feels difficult. If you're left stranded and can't make the grind, is it in your setup? Can you set up higher and not have to grind as hard to get there? Can you create momentum out of the hole and make it to the target that way? And does that result in a finishing position that's less stable? The entire purpose of these drills is to force you to spend a little more time exploring and challenging the tension, position, and rhythm of your moves, particularly when you're initiating toward the next hold. And over time, you'll not only be able to tell the difference in efficiency between different approaches to any given move, but you'll get better at anticipating which way is more efficient. And that means sending more hard rock climbs faster. Okay, Give some of these ideas a thought next time you're up against a challenging move. It might just be how you're setting up that's holding you back from getting the next hold or linking moves together. And like I mentioned before, we have a great video showing all of these concepts on YouTube right now. If this sounds like something you could use, I suggest watching. The link is in your show notes. You'll also find links to a ton of resources, as well as a sign-up link for our monthly newsletter, The Current, where we will connect the dots between our podcasts, videos, articles, and anything else that we're learning and exploring. Power Company Climbing. Learn. Grow. Excel. This time,